Hey there, everybody. So it is, what, CES day minus two? I don't know what it is. Phil here for Android Central. We got Alex and Simon here with us. So it's Sunday night. It's what? It's not even that late here in Vegas. It's 10 o'clock.
Halftime Vegas.
We just got back from the NVIDIA press conference, which, God, it took forever to get going.
Yeah. But I think we've probably safe to say it was worth the wait. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in that.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I'm going to say I'm not normally one to toot my own horn, and people are going to start throwing things at me, but I'd mentioned this before. I can't remember. Did I mention this on the podcast last week that I thought NVIDIA might have something up their sleeves?
Maybe. I remember hearing from someone. Maybe it was you.
And basically, that's all we really want to talk about right now. Well, two things. Thing number one, and this is probably the big underlying thing that NVIDIA did tonight, was Tegra 4.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's one better, right?
Than Tegra 3? It's one better, but there are a lot of different things that go into that. It's an A15 CPU, so it's the next ARM architecture up from the Tegra 3, which is A9. So A15 is also in the latest Samsung stuff, and the Snapdragon S4 is kind of A15 based. So it's faster CPU. You've got, I think, 76 or
72
GPU cores. And just from a PC gaming perspective, to put that in context, the GeForce 8800 GT, which is about 4 years old now as a PC gaming card, had 96 cores. So we're really getting up there in terms of core. I know they're not directly comparable because it's a different kind of system, but we're really getting up there now with the graphics core counts in these devices.
Yeah. The other thing is the LTE, right? I mean, they did a lot of browser comparison tests, you know, how quickly, how snappily it could pull up web pages. And that's an interesting thing for NVIDIA to be doing. You know, that's not
the LTE is an interesting thing. I think the browser test was more a CPU test, but LTE is a big thing for NVIDIA. Tegra 3, of course, didn't have LTE. If you wanted Tegra 3 and LTE in the same device, what you had to do is go and buy a chip from Qualcomm and install that on every device.
Right, and that was kind of the big deal of the past year, because that slows things down. It's a little tougher on battery, and that's why Qualcomm was able to push things a little further, slightly better battery life over Tegra 3 in phones, like specifically the HTC One X is where we could really kind of look at one next to the other, right?
Right. And they're also doing a lot with the new radio chip itself, which is programmable in the same way that a GPU is programmable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stuff was over my head, but I think the gist of it is that it's more you can do more with it. It's you can have over the air updates for different types of radio code. You can have you really drill down into the very fine sort of radio tuning that happens in the radio,
and it's really small. Kind of over my head, but they're saying 40% smaller, or 40 takes up 40% of the area of a conventional die. So, you know, for manufacturing purposes, I guess that's good for companies that have to worry about that. So, I mean, so Tegra 4 is the underlying, you know, technology of the next year or so for NVIDIA, right? And that's a big deal. I have a feeling we'll probably start seeing it in phones coming out, you know, probably Mobile World Congress. Maybe a couple things this week. I don't know. Here at CES.
They
said they're sampling the modem.
Oh, right? The modem this week. Okay.
Yeah. But I have a feeling we'll see Tegra 4.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you're sampling the modem, you're not going to have the chip without the modem, are you?
Sure. Why not?
Maybe.
I say that.
You'd have it in Wi-Fi, so maybe in tablets. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, and the other big thing, and this is kind of what really has us excited right now. These guys are, you see Simon and Alex are both nodding their heads like, yes, can we talk about it now? And that is Project Shield, which Jen said he first called it Project Thor, which I guess was probably the code name for, well, I'm thinking maybe it was the code name for this.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what he said. He's like, look, I live in code names all the time, and like the one time I have to use the right name, I blew it. So I think it was the code name for... So Project Shield, and I'm hoping they put the video up by the time we're done recording this, because it was a really cool demo video they showed. It actually wasn't a video.
Yeah.
It was rendered on...
It was live render, so it was like 3D modeling that they're playing with live as they're showing it to us. It was really cool. So... Alex, let me hear in a sentence what you think this thing is. What does it look like?
How would you describe it? I don't really work in sentences, but I'll try. it's a console, it's a controller, it's an Android device. It's effectively a portable gaming console that runs Android.
Now, I did tweet earlier that while we were waiting in line for like 2 hours, that I thought my dark horse thing was going to be that NVIDIA does some sort of gaming console. Mm. And I'm pretty sure I said something to somebody last week, too, because I just don't see them ceding the space to Wii or, you know, a Kickstarter project. It doesn't even have to be Wii. Just, you know, nobody had really grasped it yet. And if anyone was going to, especially the hardcore gaming, it was going to be NVIDIA, right?
Yeah, so, and it fits so well with everything else that they do. It's powered by the Tegra 4.
Right.
It fits it. We'll get to the software side in a bit, but it fits in with the graphics card stuff that they do on the PC.
So somebody questioned on Twitter, is this really a console? Should this be considered a console because it's a handheld sort of thing?
You got handheld consoles.
I think that's semantics, and I agree. Yeah. I think this is a self-contained, hardware, software, has the whole Tegra Zone ecosystem, Android, Steam, everything. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm cutting into your sentence here, but continue.
That's fine. I told you I don't work in sentences. so you got the whole PC side of it as well. It can stream games. I think eventually it's going to be wireless. I think when we saw it today, it was over an HDMI port. And actually, that's another thing. It comes with all these standard connectors. You got HDMI out. I'm not sure whether Ethernet was there. You certainly got micro USB.
Yeah, it had Ethernet.
Okay. So yeah, that's a big deal as well, that you've got all these connectors.
They weren't really clear on DLNA. Like, is that in there somewhere? I know they've got HDMI out, but...
Well, there's another thing they said, but they're keeping it relatively stock Android. They said they're not putting a skin on it, and I think that's going to make a lot of Android nerds very happy. Hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me if they built some... obviously, the Shield stuff is proprietary. Why not include DLNA as well? It makes sense.
So I'm looking at the back of the thing. HDMI, USB... looks like a headphone jack and micro SD card, so it's expandable too. So that's a big deal. And actually, our cab driver on the way back to the hotel here said he has to have micro SD expandability.
Yeah, it's very important too.
I'm just saying, it's important to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think NVIDIA is going to be positioning this thing just as much as a self-contained gaming console that you can carry around and play on your own, as it is just a gateway to regular console gaming with the TV, with the PC, right?
Sure, but I think at the same time, we were talking about this on the way back, that... really, this is targeted at much more of a hardcore gamer than, say, something like the DS.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
I'm not a hardcore gamer. So my question to Alex and Simon was, would I buy this? Why would I want to buy this?
I think you'd buy it because you're an Android person. You buy it for the Android side of it. I don't know. I think on the gaming side, you're looking at people who are going to be into... They're going to have a big library of games on Steam. They're going to want to stream those to a TV. Mm-hmm. They already spend... hundreds of dollars on games and hundreds of dollars on graphics cards. This is going to be effectively an accessory to that experience that's going to really, really work for them.
And I think you're right. I think that was kind of the idea. 38 watt hours of battery, and we'll put a bunch of pictures up on the blog. This thing has like the big ass roll of quarters batteries in it.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how heavy it is. As far as I know, they weren't doing any demos tonight, so we'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. And again, I kind of don't have any sort of feel for what kind of actual battery life that might give you, right?
Yeah, and you're never going to know until launch day, are you? Yeah. Until you get the thing in your hands, you never tell.
It's also hard to tell how much you'll use it in any kind of practical scenario, right? Like, right now it's only Wi-Fi. If it was 4G LTE, then you'd have a whole lot more battery drain, but without any kind of cloud service to back that up, then, yeah, I don't know.
They're calling it a 5-inch retinal... Retina.
I saw that L on the end and chuckled a little. Yeah,
Alex needs to say it. Retina. No, retinal.
Retinal.
Well, I mean, say it how you would say it because it sounds cooler.
I can't say it normally now.
No, sorry, I blew it.
I'm never going to say that word again.
720p with multi-touch, as if nothing has multi-touch anymore. Yeah. All right, whatever. NVIDIA Direct Touch. Do you guys remember what that was? I missed that while I was taking pictures.
I am not NVIDIA Direct Touch. Okay. Nope. Lost on me.
Fair enough. We'll have to look at the press release. It looks impressive, right? It's. I think the other thing they were, Jensen was pushing is how it's really not any bigger than any other gaming thing. I mean, it's not much bigger.
It's about the size of an Xbox controller.
Yeah, and it really does look like an Xbox.
I mean, it's way smaller than the gigantic Wii U thing, right?
Right. Like, yeah, he's kind of. We've got a picture of the three there, and this is kind of in the middle. Pure Android, so it was running. You know, just not stock Android, but a stock UI, right? He was showing Google Play, he was showing Google Music. The gaming was, they had this thing pushing the 4K TV, and I know Brian Klug and Sasha Sagan were kind of going back and forth on the if the content we were seeing was actually 4K content. We think the one video demo we saw was 4K, and then after that it's just pushing 720p video on a 4K TV, right? But either way,
it's yeah, pretty impressive. It's still, you still got the frame buffer still of that size. It's still coming out of the device in that resolution, right?
And who else is doing that right now? Nobody.
Well, there is. I think there is a Snapdragon chip that is not in a device yet. I think it's the Prime, the S4 Prime, yeah, that is spec'd to 4K.
That's coming.
So that, yeah, that's coming at some point.
All right. So let's talk again, kind of the ecosystem. So it runs Android apps. I mean, it's an Android device, right? That doesn't change.
Yeah.
TegraZone is built in. And it's got this cool, what do they call it?
It's the Shield.
The Shield button.
Yeah.
That's in the middle of this thing. And that launches TegraZone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you press that, you launch it straight into TegraZone. I think there's a PC tab that also does your PC stuff, TegraZone for your Tegra games.
And see, that's the way it should be done. I've never really liked TegraZone because it's always felt like this, here's this extra thing you have to go to if you want this, right? But on a device like this where you have the freedom to add in an extra button that takes you straight there, perfect. That very, very well done,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think. And there's a lot about this device that just seems like a lot of really good ideas thrown together.
Just thrown together.
Well, assembled together. It's there was an admission there that for traditional gaming like shooters and stuff, that touchscreen doesn't really cut it. And if you want that kind of gaming on the go, you really need buttons to do that.
And actually, the button scheme's kind of weird. So you've got, like your normal Xbox type buttons, right? I keep wondering does somebody have a license for that?
No.
Does somebody get paid every time that design of controller gets
Because,
re-released?
I mean, if you're really going to go back, you take a look at the Super Nintendo controller, and you'll see that standard layout has been repeated.
Yeah, okay. No, and again, I'm not a hardcore gamer.
I think people have sued other people over controller layouts, but it's... that's been a long past.
Okay, so you got that, and then you've got around this big Shield button, you've got a start button, looks like a volume button of some sort, maybe mute.
They had full media controls there, too.
Home button and back button and full media controls, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it looks pretty cool. Speakers on the little device itself, on the Shield itself, that they said has better frequency response than an HP computer with Beats Audio. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had one and was never that... wild by it.
Internal speakers, they could have saved room and saved battery just by letting people stick with the headphones.
On the other hand, it's a games console, and
sure.
Every single handheld games console,
you've got to have a speaker.
The Game Boys had speakers,
And I tell you, I mean, look, I know we were in the Rain nightclub at the Palms, which has a decent sound system, so I get that's a big part of the battle, but damn, it sounded good in there. What else? So we're talking connectivity. So Android, TegraZone,
Steam.
Steam is the other side of it. And actually, another thing we get into is the GeForce Experience software that's built in for PCs. And
mm-hmm.
part of that is something at the driver level that allows graphics to be streamed over a local network through the Shield to a TV, or just to the Shield directly.
And this is kind of expanding on something that they've showed us for a year now, where they're, you're actually playing a game somewhere else that is being controlled by, your tablet is what they showed us last year.
Yeah, that's just an extension of that.
Right.
And it works, now it's enabled properly through a driver level through Steam. So if you've got a game running on your PC, you can take it, use it on a handheld, or you can use it on a handheld and have the display piped out to a TV. And the theory
it looked really cool, guys.
It did look really cool,
but there has to be absolutely zero lag for this to be worth all the hassle.
Well,
that's
why they're using it over a local network, and of course you're going to need a lot of bandwidth, but on even a relatively modest Wi-Fi network, you're still looking at very low latency. So I think they've got it figured out. That's the reason why they're not doing it over the internet yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeping the local networks. They're not doing an on-live kind of thing. We were talking about that as well. I think that will eventually happen, and it'll probably be Steam that does it.
Something else that needs to be mentioned, even though it's probably not something you or I will ever, touch, is NVIDIA Grid,
mm-hmm.
which is it's their cloud gaming system, right?
Yeah. It's not a cloud gaming service run by NVIDIA in the same way that on-live is. It's technology backing up that kind of service that other people run. So they're getting in on the cloud gaming space by providing the technology that runs it.
20 grid servers per rack, 240 NVIDIA GPUs, 200 teraflops which is the equivalent of about 700 Xbox 360s all wired together.
Well, they compared it to the Xbox 360, and that's in itself kind of a false comparison because it's 5 years old. And of course, it's not going to be as power efficient because, just because the way it's put together. But at the same time, very impressive that you can get that kind of...
Right. Oh, and speaking of comparison, and we'll have a separate video of this too, so be sure to check that out. They showed Tegra 4, they were showing it in sort of I hate to say rendered demo, because that's not right, but it's kind of was, right?
As well, a stage demo.
Maybe. Yeah, against the Samsung Nexus 10, and they loaded up 25 web pages, and the...
But they loaded them over a local network, so the idea was that you didn't have the internet going into the mix. You would just load the page over, from a router or something like that, and it would just pull them in.
And it took twice as long, basically, on the Nexus 10 than it did on the I guess, emulated, maybe? Tegra, I mean, it was tough to tell, and Alex keeps trying to tell me that the Nexus 10 was running Chrome, and then the emulated one wasn't.
The 10 seemed to be running Chrome. The Tegra 4 seemed to be running...
something.
It was running what looked like the stock Android browser.
So I don't know what to make of that.
But. I mean, later on when they had their whole photography demo, they were using a Windows 8 tablet. So who even knows? Yeah.
Photography. We haven't talked about that. Tegra 4. So the way you take pictures now, it's actually built into the system on the chip, right? On some phones. No?
I'm not as far as I'm aware. I think that what's new that they're doing now is hooking the... the image sensor more directly into the SoC.
Okay.
And again, we're getting to stuff that's over my head, probably over all of our heads. But the gist of it is you're hooking the direct image input, like the output of the sensor, directly into the CPU.
Right.
So you're getting, the CPU gets access to stuff that's coming out of the camera much earlier than it normally would. And what that lets you do, and the big way they demoed it was HDR today.
Right.
Taking essentially, not literally, but seemingly two pictures at once. So two pictures in very, very, very quick succession. And so that while one picture is being taken, when the second picture is being taken, that it's already crunching the first one. So the end result is maybe...
So basically shutter lag, not shutter lag, but any sort of motion with an HDR picture that you get now will spoil it, right?
Yeah.
And basically that, it kind of takes it out of the equation with what they were showing.
Yeah. And there are other applications as well that they were looking at. And they were calling, what was the name they were using for it? Was it computational photography or something like that? Looking at hooking smartphone tech, CPUs directly into the image output. And I was mentioning this as well on the way back. If you look at the current crop of smart cameras, like the Galaxy camera, the Nikon thing we had, the imaging side of it is still very separate, the same way it is in a smartphone. If you look at maybe the future of that kind of product, if you can tie what Tegra 4 seems to be doing into a dedicated camera device, if you have the awesome optics behind it and you have the really, really intelligent smart stuff getting in directly in the sensor level, that's going to be really interesting. And I hope we see a product like that soon.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff. One thing we don't have is any sort of
We don't have price.
We don't have availability.
We don't even have a name for the shield yet.
Right. Which is kind of a cool name, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And we don't have any devices for Tegra 4 yet that we know of.
Right. No. And I don't think we will probably until MWC.
Yeah. That's earliest, I think.
How much would you pay for one, Alex?
For a shield?
Yeah.
That was a big question because this is hardcore.
Yeah.
Hardcore gaming. This is not.
I would like this.
Not a Wii. It's not a Nexus 7.
I would like to think they could get it out there for maybe $350 or $400.
Yeah, I'd pay $400 for it.
I think it's going to be a bit of a bust if it's over $500 because you look at what Nvidia sells its graphics cards for. The high end is I think still $500 to $600.
Yeah,
that's probably a sweet spot, and
It's a 5-inch screen, so like how much are 5-inch smartphones going for? $600-$700
Yeah.
Right?
But it's 720p, isn't it? It's not you don't have the crazy 1080p high end stuff.
That's true.
Cool. All right, so that's Sunday night. Monday's gonna be a big day. A whole bunch of press stuff. probably, I still think this is going to be the biggest news for us of CES.
I think it is. I think the Shield and the Tegra 4 stuff is the biggest deal for Android at this show. We do still have announcements potentially Android related from LG tomorrow. We got Huawei and Sony, of course, is announcing the Xperia Z.
And the show floor doesn't actually open until Tuesday. So welcome to Vegas.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and look for more awesomeness this week. Alex, Simon, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.